Okay, alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. While we are settling down, I have to make the announcement for the next program to save the few minutes that we can so we can start on time and finish on time. We're running a little bit late, as you can appreciate. We are deeply honored and privileged, of course, to have the presence of Dr. Tariq Ramadan today. I have been trying to host him for the past 2 years, and understandably, he's a very busy person, but busy people are usually so because of their importance and contribution that they make to the wider society and their relevance to the Muslims. And therefore, we have been persistent in chasing him and inviting him, and alhamdulillah, we have his presence today. A brief introduction about Dr. Tariq Ramadan. I fear that I might not be able to give you a proper description of his merits and achievements on account of the fact that I think perhaps I need education myself to appreciate his level of scholarship. He's born in Switzerland, and he's been educated in that country in various disciplines. He has studied French literature and philosophy, and then, of course, spent time studying the Islamic sciences at the Al-Azhar University. He's unique in a sense that he has got two PhDs. He's got a PhD in philosophy and a PhD in Islamic studies. That's two separate PhDs. He gained certain press coverage last year, around about August time, when his visa was revoked for going to the States to take the post of a professorship at the Notre Dame University. 9 days before the appointment, they revoked his visa. We find him particularly relevant to our situation on account of the fact that Dr. Tariq Ramadan talks intellectually as well as with practical suggestions on how we might possibly, inshallah, adapt to our changing times by identifying with the acceptance norms of the West or the Western culture. He's going to be, alhamdulillah, visiting professor at Oxford University at St. Anthony College. So very soon he's going to be spending, inshallah, more time in the UK. Also he'll be a senior research fellow at the Lockerbie Foundation in London. So without further ado, I'd like to welcome Dr. Tariq Ramadan to the stage. If you would like to come now, please. Jazakumullah khairan.
أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فهو المهتد ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أيها الإخوة أيتها الأخوات أحييكم بتحية الإسلام تحية من عند الله مباركة طيبة السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته الحمد لله It's an honor and a pleasure for me to be with you today and to share with you some views about the way we have to think about being a practicing Muslim man and woman in our daily life and in this society, which is for now and for the future, our society, the European society, and for yourself, the British society. I want to thank the organizers and especially our brother for being so patient, because during the last weeks and before that the last years He really tried his best to be able for me to be with you, and alhamdulillah, jazakallah anna kulli khair for this invitation and for this organization. I heard that it was and it still is a great gathering and full of people, full of Muslims. My hope is that we are not going to be misled by the number, that 3,000, 2,000 Muslims gathered during one weekend, if we only have five of them understanding that they have to change their life in order to change this society, this is the success of one lecture, of one conference. I don't expect more than that. Five, six persons, brothers or sisters, understanding that they have to change their life. Because very often we have thousands of people coming, listening very passively. This is a great conference, and then their life starts again to be exactly the same. And what is needed now is to gather Muslims to understand that they have to change, because we are going through a crisis. It's not because the people are speaking about our crisis that we are experiencing this crisis. When you travel in the Islamic world and when you travel in the Muslim communities in the West, the only perception you can have, which is the true one, is that there is a crisis. We need lots of work to do, lots of efforts, lots of jihad, which is the real meaning of resistance to our passiveness, to our laziness, to our passivity. I think it's the great jihad is this one. Resistance to our passivity. The main enemy of the Muslims is today their own laziness, blaming the other, not being able to change their own community, their own life, their own family, their own daily life. Wallahu a'lam wa a'la wa ahkam. So as I was asked to speak about good deeds, let me start very quickly, because I also want time to respond to two or three questions. And mainly, I know that some of you have a question, which is a deep question, about this question, the launch of the moratorium I launched last March. And many are saying, what's that? What does he want exactly? So I will take time, inshallah, to respond to this question, because I really want you to have a clear understanding of the purpose and the aim of this launch and this nida. So to start with the question of the relationship between our belief and our faith and our actions, our daily life. Let me start by a short introduction about three things that are essential upstream from our involvement in our daily life as Muslims to understand and to keep in mind. It's really important. It's really important to have them in mind. The first one is that the axis of Islam is a tawheed. Is La ilaha illallah. And when we say La ilaha illallah, we mean by that that He is the creator of all mankind, all the universe. And when we say He is the creator of the universe, we understand that the Islamic message is universal, is a universal message. So we are coming, we are living, we are understanding our faith as a connection to the Creator, Allahu Rabbul Alameen, who creates the whole world, the whole worlds with S, Rabbul Alameen, and this is, He is the Creator of the universe, bringing and revealing to us a universal message. A universal message means that it's not only a message for us, it's the message for all mankind. The point here is that when we listen to the Quran, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ, we have but sent you as a mercy for the worlds. What should be understood is that when you start speaking to the people, you don't speak from a minority viewpoint. You don't speak from something which is on the margin of the general philosophy of a society. You speak about something that you know, even if they don't know, that is universal. I'm speaking about something that is in your mind, in your heart, in your nature. You maybe don't know about it, but I know that is as universal that as you are part of the universe. You understand the point? It's to change our perception. Very often we come here and say, We as Muslims, we have to speak to them. So it's us and them. But we forgot that the Tawheed is to say Allah is Allah for me and you, for all of us, together. So the centrality of the Tawheedi message is to come back to this and to understand that when the people are speaking about you Muslims as a minority in this society, you have to get rid of this mentality of being a minority to come to the universal message of Islam and speaking, Abba, I am speaking about something which is a message for all, with values for all, with principles for all. So the point here is the way we perceive ourselves before the way they are perceiving us. And the mistake is here. Very often we speak about ourselves from the viewpoint, from their viewpoint, the viewpoint of the others. So this is wrong. Come to the centrality of a Tawheed. This is one point. The second point, which is, and you know that, when we say La ilaha illallah, very quickly when you come to the Quran, you listen to the Quran and you have repeatedly the same sentence, which is Alladhina amanu wa amilu salihat. So there is something here which is coherence between belief and actions. It's part of our identity. When the people are speaking about the Muslim identity, part of the principles, one of the principles of this identity is coherence between what I believe in and what I'm doing. When someone came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and asking about what, give me one advice, is قُلْ آمَنْتُ بِاللَّهِ ثُمَّ أَسْتَقِمْ. Mean, I believe in God, I'm a believer, and then do the good deeds. So follow, stand firm on new way, be perseverant. And by the way, وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ here, it's to good deeds. And here, very often, when we speak about the sabr, we speak about we translate sabr by patience, which is the wrong translation. It's not only patience. Patience, I can be patient and passive. As sabr وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, that they are continually doing the good deeds, whatever is the situation. So it's much more about perseverance, endurance, that you are patient in action, not patient in passivity. You are active and patient, whatever is the situation, whatever are the hindrances, are the obstacles. So the point here for us is to understand what we mean by that. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. So here it's a question of coherence, and you have that in the Quran repeatedly that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling you Alladhina amanu wa amilu salihat. So it means that our message is universal, but our faith, it's visible. Our faith should be visible through our deeds, through the way we act. It's a visible faith by the way you are acting. And before even speaking, وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُوا قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا وَقَالَ إِنَّنِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. What? Look at that. دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ. First, التوحيد. دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا. Means what you are doing. And then he speaks, وَقَالَ إِنَّنِي وَقَالَ. You first act, the people look at your acts, look at your behavior, look at your deeds, and then إِنَّنِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. But first Allah, second actions, and then you speak about who you are. But before saying who you are, the people are looking at what you do. Because you can say, I am a Muslim, but when we look at what you do, it's very far from who you claim you are. And you know that. This is mainly the problem we have in this community. Many people going outside saying, I am a Muslim. But when you look at them, you don't see the difference. Or even worse, you see that this Islam is not really close to the message. So the point here is coherence. And sometimes you have to speak about Allah without speaking. You understand my point? Don't speak too much. And the people looking at you say, oh, there is something behind that man. There is something behind this woman. something that can explain why he or she is acting like that. This is Islam. This is coherence. This is the very important point. Now, at that point, nothing new for you, but one thing which is really essential. And this is part of why we have to do good deeds. Look at this part of the verse. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ The first is that you rely on your belief in Allah. And then you do good deeds. So you are acting in the way you are commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by God. So the point here is, why are you doing what you are doing? In whom, in what, in which way do you have to put your hope in order to remain close to Allah? And this is a very important point. Here, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ You are doing a salihat because you believe in God. You believe in Allah. And this is what is in the Quran. يُطْعِمُونَ الطَّعَامَ عَلَىٰ حُبِّهِ مِسْكِينٍ وَيَتِيمًا وَأَسِيرًا يُطْعِمُونَ الطَّعَامَ They feed the people around them عَلَىٰ حُبِّهِ because they love him. يَتِيمًا Poor people, miskin and yatiman wa asira. Miskin is the poor people. Yatiman is the orphan. And asira is the captive. So they give food. Why? Ala hubbihi. And some scholars are saying hubbihi is whatever is the love of the food. But it's mainly the most, the majority understanding is ala hubbihi, the love of him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Innama nut'imukum liwajhi Allah. We are giving you food because of his face, out of our love for him. And then, لا نريد منكم جزاء ولا شكورا. We are not expecting from you reward or even to thank us. We are not doing this for that. It's not for you. It's for him. So the point here is to understand that what we are doing, if we understand rightly the meaning of Tawheed, is for him. Why? Why is it important to know that you are doing it not for the people, but for him? Once one sheikh, after 20 years of da'wah in Egypt, told to his students, you know, if I was to do this for the people, I would have stopped. I would have stopped. Because this community can just make you cry. That's true. Sometimes you visit the community and you see things in the community, you can but cry. Because it is so disappointing what the people are able to do. Your brothers in Islam, your sisters in Islam, they can speak badly. They can speak at your back. They can betray you. But he never, Allah never betrays someone. So we are doing this for him. It's really important to understand that point. And he said, And the Sheikh said, if it was for the people, it would have stopped, but it is for him, and I have to continue. Look, this is the deep understanding, not the first. At the surface, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا عَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ is easy. Come to a deeper understanding. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا means that they are so linked to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that they will continue to do the good deeds, whatever is the situation of the people, whatever the people are doing. Look at some stories in the Quran. You can be disappointed by whom? By your own husband. Who was disappointed by her own husband? Pharaoh's wife. She became to believe and she was trying to protect herself from him. Who was disappointed by his own wife? Lut, alayhi salam. She betrayed. She left. Who was betrayed by his own son? Nuh alayhi salam, or Yaqub by his sons. They lied at him. Who was betrayed by his own community? All the prophets. All the prophets found their people against them. So the people you love, the people you live with, they can betray you. They can forget about the principles. They can disappoint you. They can. You can just cry because of what they are doing. And your parents, Abraham alayhi salam, his father. And they stick to the reality of Tawheed. Why? الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. am believing in him beyond what you are doing. And ever is, even if this community is going to reject me, I'm going to serve her, to serve this community. Why? Because of him. So you go to the mosque, you listen to people, and sometimes you see things that are so disappointing. People speaking, lying, betraying in your community. And you understand why the Prophet ﷺ told you, when you enter to the mosque, you enter the mosque and you have to pray, put your shoulder against his shoulder. Why? Because between you, Shaitan Shakhal. Iblis is here, even in the mosque, if you are not close to your brother. Think about it. Think about this, the meaning of Tawheed, that if you say, I believe, Alladhina amanu, is that it's beyond the people. Do you want to take an example, a very simple example of that? Very simple. Come to the Quran. And the Quran, for Qara'at Ta'abudiyya, when you read the Quran out of worship and you try to understand, look how the Quran starts with Al-Fatiha. الفاتحة بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين. It's all about Allah. You start the Quran with Allah, and when you finish the Quran, بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل أعوذ برب الناس ملك الناس إله الناس. In first it's everything about Allah, and at the end you are asking him to protect you from them. من الجنة والناس. Five times ناس in the last. And everything about the Rabb or Malik in the first surah. From him to protection and refuge of them. Because they can destroy you. Don't forget, never forget that when you deal with people. Put your trust in him, in order not to lose your trust in them. Put your hope in him, in order not to lose your hope in them. Because you can. Because really, when you are working with this community, one day you are here, the day after you can. And they are able not to forgive you. People you love much, they are able not to forgive you. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can forgive you. And this is really important to understand the meaning of الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Iman means everything is for him. And I will continue to serve whatever the people are doing. Because I understood the meaning. And I understand the meaning of the last surah of the Quran. Come to this principle and try to understand the meaning of coherence and the meaning of الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. And it's the only way to be free. The true freedom, it's coming from this kind of faith, that you are free from the people. I'm not doing it for you. I'm free from you. I'm free among you. I'm free. It's for him. This is freedom. This is freedom. This is real hope. That is not for here. لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ. Beyond this life, there is another life, which is the true life. This life is not life. It's not the true life. So you have this in mind, and this is what you have to keep in the middle of a consumer society. In the middle of this life in industrialized society, that you are free from the people, free from the dunya's hope, that they are just doing it for the sake of this world, this life. This presence. So the point here is to understand that and to come to what we have to do out of this deep teaching and to understand that. But let me tell you something. The most disappointing community I saw and I still see in my daily life is the Muslim community. Because we have so great message and we are doing so bad things. We are so neglectful. We are so lazy. That at one point say, okay, it's disappointing. And you can understand the sadness of all the prophets. They came with this great message and they look at the people. And the people, they can sit here and be happy with, كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس. تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر وتؤمنون بالله. كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس. You are the best community among all the communities. But it's not like this. It's not by blood. It's not because you are Muslims. No. In so far as you promote what is right, you resist what is wrong, and at the end you believe in God. But look at the way the verse is put. It's the visible which comes first. تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَلْ مُنْكَرِ And behind that is وَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ. تُؤْمِنُونَ, it's not visible. What is visible for the people, the best community, is the community where the good deeds are visible. Our faith in this society should not be visible in newspapers, should not be visible because we condemn this, we do that, we are speaking about that, because of what we are doing, what we are providing. All the people around you are speaking about, you have to integrate. I have only one point. If we understand the meaning of this message, is what is your contribution? Okay, you are here in this country. What is your contribution to Britain? What are you giving to this country? Because at the end of the day, كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس means that. تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر. What are you doing in this society in order to help this society to promote what is good and to resist what is bad? This is, but not among yourself, not but withdrawing into your own community. You say, okay, we have to protect ourselves. So you are not giving, you are just protecting. And it's not a universal message. How the people can understand that your message is universal if you are here among yourselves? Say, okay, we have to protect ourselves. The only thing that we are doing is we are protecting ourselves from the bad, but we are not providing something which is good. Where are we? And don't accept the trap. The trap is to push you, to lead you to speak always about Islam. No, it's not a problem. It's not Islam's that. Islam is not that. Islam. You are obsessed, and we are pushing you to be, they are pushing you to be obsessed by saying Islam is not. It's not Islam extremism. It's not, Islam is not radicalism. Islam is not. And what is Islam then? What are you saying about your religion? To provide the true message of Islam to this society. Out of your deeds. So your deeds should be visible. Let us come very quickly to that point, because I really think that this is the essential point when we speak about Islam and in which way we have to provide something to this society. So the point for me, very quickly, I wrote two things. Very often the people are speaking about, you know, a da'wah. This is what we have to do, which is right. But we don't agree on the meaning of da'wah. For people, da'wah is just to go to the people, which is within the community and among people. It's good to speak, of course, to speak about Allah. This should be done. But the true da'wah, if we come to the verses of the Quran, أُدْعُوا إِلَى سَبِيلِ رَبِّ بالحكمة والموعظة الحسنة وجادلهم بالتي هي أحسن. Very often we translate da'wah to invite the people to Islam out of our speeches. But it's more than that here. Look at these three verses and you will understand why it's really important to come to this coherence, why we have to understand الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات. The three qualities that are referred to in these three verses, بالحكمة. بالحكمة mean wisdom. Who should be wise in order to invite the people? It's a quality on the caller, the one who is calling the people. بالحكمة. So you have to be wise. So it's a quality, a responsibility on you, not on the people. You have to know how to be wise. بالموعظة الحسنة, the best advice. So, الحكمة is the way you behave. الموعظة الحسنة is what you say. وَجَادِلْهُمْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ is how you speak. How you speak, what you say, how you behave. It's all about you. Da'wah, it's about you. And what is the true meaning of da'wah here? It's to be a witness of your message. This is consistency. This is why we have وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا لِتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ وَيَكُونَ الرَّسُولُ عَلَيْكُمْ شَهِيدًا. This is why we have الشهادة here. تَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ, to be witness to the truth, to the people of your message. This is what, so the point here is that our consistency, our da'wah, the true da'wah, is to be a witness of our message to the truth. So the people should see that we are doing what we are saying, that we are consistent, and not only speaking. And we are following here the verses of the Quran. الْحِكْمَةِ وَالْمَوْعِذَةِ الْحَسَنَةِ وَجَادِلْهُمْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنَةِ So we understand that we have to be witness to the truth. This is the main point here. لِتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ So it's out of our action. So if we understand that, it's not only a question of speaking. It's not only a question of being in these societies now. In which fields do we have to work now? What are the priorities which are expected to be understood and undertaken by the Muslims here in this society in Britain? Because the point for us is to understand that this universal message is sent to us in order for us to know in which way we have to implement it in our specific context, which is the British context. So there are at least six main fields within which our activities, our actions, our behavior should show something, give something to this society. And my main point is this. Stop speaking about minority. Understand that your message is universal. Stop speaking about integration and start speaking about contribution. Stop minority. Stop integration. Start about universality and contribution. This is what we need now. But to do that, you have to change your mentality, which is not the easiest way. Because it's very easy. You know, it's very easy to come on, during the weekend to sit with Muslims to say, okay, I'm a Muslim. The true jihad, resistance, effort of a Muslim in this society is to be able to go out on the battlefield of ideas, of thoughts, of actions. Where are you? We sit together. I say, okay, this is the easiest way. And we are speaking about killing the others sometimes. And don't remember what the Sheikh said. One of our great ulama of the last century, he said, you know, it's very, very, very difficult to go and to struggle and to be killed in the way of God. It's very, very difficult. But it's much, much, much more difficult to live in the way of God. It's difficult. No, it's difficult. So to sit here and say, I'm going to be killed. Okay. But we want you to be alive. Do what you have to do. This is jihad. This is resistance. Provide the people with the right message. Provide the people with the right example, testimony, who you are. This is why I call the West, Dar al-Shahada, the space of testimony, where we bear witness to the truth. I don't call it the space of peace, because Dar al-Salam for me is al-Jannah. It's a Dar here where we have to hope to build for Dar al-Salam. But I don't see the people around me spreading peace. We are trying. It's a struggle to get that peace. But there is one peace. Now what, where we are here is the space where we have to be witness, testimony of what we are, the message we have. So the first field, which is really important, and this was the beginning. Do I have, it's okay, I have 5 minutes? 10 minutes? No, yes, 25, but after for the question. So I will try to keep to this time. So, there is one first field, which is very missing in our community. And let me start from within the community and go step by step outside the community. But there is something which is the big struggle, the great struggle within our community. You know, in which way, you know, there is a divine pedagogy and a prophetic pedagogy in the way the Quran was revealed, in the way the Prophet, salawatu rabbi alayhi wa sallam, was behaving with the people. But there is something which is constant, which is permanent in the 23 years of revelation and 23 years of the prophetic mission, There is something which is essential. He built everything on something which is trusting the brothers and loving them. You are not going to change your community if you don't have around you people you love, people you trust, and people with whom you speak about love and trust. Ask yourself, you are at home, do you speak at home about love, loving each other? When the Prophet ﷺ was advising a brother to say to his brother, I love you in Allah, but not I love you in Allah with your tongue or with your just your mouth. I love you in Allah with your heart. How many people around you can you tell or say about them, I deeply, strongly love them in Allah? And I know the meaning of that. That Allah, whatever, you know, very often we present Al-Isra wal-Mi'raj as a great experience for the Prophet ﷺ. But you know, to make it short, you know the story. When he came back and he said, I went to Al-Quds and I prayed and I went to, and I got the five prayers. All the story, you know the story. What was the first reaction of the people? Oh, he's totally crazy. He's crazy. And they went to his friend. And because this faith, this Islam was built on trust and love, the first reaction of Abu Bakr Siddiq, As-Siddiq, the truthful man, and this is really important, Siddiq, As-Siddiq is this coherence between your belief and your action. As-Siddiq. So, the first reaction was to say, has he said that? He said, yes. They wanted him to say, it's crazy. I believe him. Because of his love, I believe this man. He is the Prophet, ﷺ. How many of you brothers, if someone comes to you and tell you, you know what he did? Are you going to keep your trust? Are you going to be confident? Are you going to say, I love him and I will protect him from you? How many brothers do you have that when someone came to criticize them, you already say, stop. I don't want to listen. He is my brother. She is my sister. This is the true love. The experience of Al-Isra wal-Mi'raj is this, the good deeds within the community. We said, I love him. He is my brother. I will protect him. Man satara mu'minan fi dunya, satarahu Allah fi dunya wal akhirah. I'm going to protect him from you. And maybe what you say is right, but I will help him to be right. The first reaction is to protect the people. What is needed is in this community is protective brothers and sisters. Caring, loving, saying it. How many times you are telling the brothers and sisters, I love you in Allah, or showing it without saying it, but you feel that there is love in our relationship. And trust, and confidence. Iltamis li'akhik 70 uzran, find for your brother 70 excuses before judging him or her. So how are you going to change this society if in this society, in our community, we have a community of judges? The first mistake is the last one I accept. What's that? How could you contribute to the people here? We are a community of peace and love and mutual trust. If it's not true, I'm sorry to say, I don't feel it. I don't feel in this community, it's very easy to smile at me because you see me once. But what about your brother and your sister in your daily life? This is Islam. So the starting point of our contribution to this society is to promote this in this society, this love. أُحِبُّكَ فِي اللَّهِ. And I nurture this. I study, I learn how to love. Because everything in Islam is about learning. You have to learn to love your father and your mother. You have to learn to love your brother and your sister. You have to learn to love your son and your daughter. It's all about learning. It's not like this, it's not natural. The deep love is out of learning, studying. The superficial love is out of nature. You naturally love.
like this, superficially. But a spiritual love is out of teaching, because there is no spirituality without jihad, studying, learning. This is what we need in this community. Where are we? We are far from that. We are far from this. And ask yourself, how many? And you know, we are very often repeating a very extreme situation. وَإِن جَاءَكَ فَاسِقٌ فَتَبَيَّنُوا. جَاءَكَ فَاسِقٌ. If someone is coming to tell you something which is wrong, perverse, okay, just to try to find. But in your daily life, you have to do that. In your daily life, if you love your brothers and your sisters, and you promote this in this community. So we are defensive with the people around us, the non-Muslims, and we are judging our fellow Muslims. So where is the heart in all that? Where is our heart? Where is the spiritual teaching of Islam here? Where is this learn to forgive? Can you tell me, really, every one of you can tell me, I know how to forgive? Do you really forgive? Think about to whom you show this kind of forgiveness during the last months. To forgive. While the prophets were struggling against their own community, and they forgive. The Prophet ﷺ coming back to Mecca. Antum tulaqa. Go. I forgive you. After 10 years. It was a struggle and persecution. Forgive. And we experience nothing of that. And we don't know how to forgive. So this is one point. And I can tell you something. This will be visible in Britain. This will be visible. Really, if you are like this, the people are looking at you and say, okay, I like the way he or she is. Protective. Protecting. You know, just hiding the weaknesses of the people. The Muslims and the non-Muslims alike. It's nothing. And then you ask the Prophet, ﷺ did. You know, Umar wanted to kill someone. He took him apart and he explained. This is the pedagogy. Don't do that. Don't do that. Harshness on one side. Love and tenderness on the other. Where are you? On which side? Ask yourself, on which side? So this is the true consistency between faith and behave. The second field is, and this is something that we have to show in this society, very quickly, it's commitment towards two things. Within the community and outside the community, remember, poor people don't have for you religion. They are poor people, and we are ready to help anyone, Muslim or non-Muslim, we are here to help. Al-miskin, al-yatim, whoever you are, Muslim or non-Muslims, you are here to help. So, commitment towards solidarity. Commitment towards solidarity. And you know, by the way, even the zakat, first is for the Muslims. But what is beyond our needs can be provided for the people around us. So this is something which is really important. Commitment towards solidarity. So, what is your relationship? Except during Ramadan, with the poor people in this society. You know how many poor people are in this society. You know how the Prophet ﷺ was. You know how Umar radiallahu anhu was. He was just caring for the people around. What are you doing? What place have the poor people in your heart? When you are asking, and we knew the Prophet ﷺ was asking Allah, Allahumma nas'aluka hubb al-masakin. We are asking you to love the poor people, to love them. Hubb al-masakin. Ask yourself, you want to change, you are here, the best community. Do you love the poor people? Or just during Ramadan, you do exactly what is done now during Christmas. During 1 month, give, give, give. And that's it for 1 year. Ramadan is a school for the whole year. It's 1 month for the 11 months after. It's not 1 month for forget during 11 months afterward. It's a school to learn how to act and to behave during the 11 months after that. Where are we? And not only for Muslims. The best answer for all what the people are saying about Islam is during the coming Ramadan here, is to show, to contribute to the people. This is the month where we give, and we'll not end, we'll give solidarity. And commitments also towards something which is not only, you know, don't let the people speak about Islam or about religion only, you know, it's solidarity activities. It's also about rights. Aren't you British citizens? So now in this country, there are rights. The rights of the citizen's right in this country. Unemployment, social policy, what is going on in this society? What are you doing on that? Because some people here are just not getting their rights. And don't expect from one society to give you your rights like this. You have to struggle. You have to be a true citizen and to ask for your rights. Not only yours, but the rights of all the people. When someone is coming from economic exile, you are here, you are sitting here, and you are happy. But what about the people who are coming now from different countries of the world, and they are lost without paper, documents, nothing, and we treat them as criminals? Is it right? It's not. Where are you? No, you are not here. You sit and you say, oh, I like Malcolm X. He was great. Yes, he was great. You know why he was great? Because he never forgot them. Never. Never he forgot from where he was coming. But you are forgetting. We have now a new petite bourgeoisie of Muslims in the West. Caring for money, for jobs, and that's it. What are you going to show to the people around you if you are not committed here? Consistency means struggle, commitment for social policies, urban policies, and solidarity. We need Muslims now, men and women. Go out of your ghetto mentality. Go out of your intellectual ghetto. Go out and come to the society and show what you have to do. And this is Islam. Love, commitment. Spirituality is this. This is a field where we are not here. Where are we? We have some Muslim organizations that are doing well, but very often we do that for Muslims only. So when you are a Muslim, working among Muslims and helping only the Muslims, and then you watch TV and say, they know nothing about Islam. You are right. They don't know. But who is to blame? Who is to blame? If you are always among yourself and they don't know about Islam, who is to blame? And don't tell me, oh, now with all these communications, everyone can know about Islam. No, it's wrong. It's wrong. Not in the right way. The only way today to know about Islam is proximity at the local level. It's the way you are showing that you are Muslims. It's the only way. The media are not giving the right example of Islam, the right message. And the books, no. It's not a question of books. Now it's a question of people. And for the first time, alhamdulillah, we have now millions of Muslims in the West. Where are we? You are the living books. The people should read in you, on you, about you, in your daily life. This is what you have to do. So this is the second field. Quickly, the third field is about critical mind. It's about intelligence. What are you providing to this society? What we are wasting our time to respond to their questions. Are we coming with good questions? Are we coming with good, you know, contribution, intellectual contribution? This is what we need. What we need now at the academic level. We need students. We need professors coming and writing about new questions, new perceptions, new alternative ideas about something which is not a response to your attacks, but something which is a prospect for the future. Where are we? We have to propose something. Many often we have student organizations organizing meetings in university like here, and they are just responding to the attacks. Get rid of that. This is the wrong way. This is exactly what the people want you to do, to respond, to respond, to respond, to respond, and to waste your way. To lose the path. You don't know where you are going. Now come with alternative, new idea. We need intellectual creativity. Intellectual creativity, people coming with new ideas. You can do that, you can do that. This is an alternative in education. Not just something that to solve our problems. our problems, not something to solve the problems of this society. Speak about spirituality. When you speak about spirituality, all the people, even the atheists, are listening to you because you are coming with the deep question. So what about this society? We have money, we can eat, we can drink, but we are not happy. We are not. So if we are not happy, come with something which is a true discussion, a true contribution about what happiness is all about, what freedom is all about. So intellectual field is really important. About culture, very often we are here, and this is also a field where we need to contribute. You know that Yusuf Islam, Hafizahullah, during years, he was far from connected to music. And the last time we met, and this was not my opinion. My opinion was that he had to continue and not only to be far from this field. Why? Because he can give something in that field. Now he's coming with new ideas and say, okay, we can be creative in that field. Islamically speaking, you should not put Islam on everything to be sure, because there is a lack of self-confidence. We have so poor self-confidence that very often for Islam, Islam, Islam. It's not because you put Islam that it's more Islamic. Sometimes there is no word Islam, but it's totally Islamic and the people can listen. We need cultural creativity, something which is a contribution to this society. And many of you can write, can read, can speak, can do things in their field. You are skilled people. And you know that millions of Muslims are skilled in this society. Where are you? No, we speak far from the society. So here, it's a contribution, and this is a jihad also. It's a jihad. It's the way you resist something which is bad in culture, and you provide with something. Al-amr bil ma'ruf wa nahy anil munkar in the cultural field. Al-amr bil ma'ruf wa nahy anil munkar in the social field. Al-amr bil ma'ruf wa nahy anil munkar in the solidarity field. Al-amr bil ma'ruf wa nahy anil munkar in the intellectual field. We have fields. There are fields within which we need people working. And the last point here is also our contribution to this society after this is the way you are dealing with our problems and the way we can deal with social problems, family problems. And by the way, I want to tell you something. Islam has no problem with women, but Muslims have. So there is something here which it's also needed. We need to show and to show to ourselves and to this society that we can do something different in the way we are dealing with the relationship between men and women. We don't want to follow this superficial freedom, but we don't want to follow these wrong interpretations of Islam. No domestic violence is not Islamic. No forced marriages are not Islamic. This should be stopped now. You have to come to something which is true. We need to promote equal education, better understanding, and we need now women better educated and being able to talk. If I come to speak about women, it will be only a man speaking about women issues. But now in this society, we need women able to respond, to speak, to say who they are, what they want, why they have chosen the way they have chosen. This is what is needed now. So all these fields is what I call, you see, a very short verse. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ عَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ is a wide field with many different fields within which every one of us should find his or her place. So my question now, I heard that you are more than 2,000 listening. I have one question. Choose one of these fields. Where are you and what are you now ready to do? One of them. Specialize yourself. Don't go out from this room and say, okay, I will do everything. Tomorrow, social problems, solidarity, I will... No. If you do everything, you are doing everything superficially, you are going to do nothing. Choose one. And ask yourself, because this is the first question Allah is asking you. I give you these skills. What have you done with these skills? So what are you doing? And work and do something. Do something. And understand. وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا مَنْ دَعَ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا وَقَالَ إِنَّنِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. Put you in this verse, out of this lecture, and put you in one field, and do what you have to do. And you know my expectation? The only hope I have, inshallah, is that out of these 2,000, five people will do the job. Because Allahu A'lam about the others. I learned after 20 years traveling in this community that many are here, but too many are lazy. Too many are just passive listeners, not workers, not giving their time, the sacrifice to give their own. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَرْتَابُوا. Then after that they have no doubt. وَجَاهَدُوا بِأَمْوَالِهِمْ وَأَنفُسِهِمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الصَّادِقُونَ. So they believe in Allah, they follow the Prophet ﷺ. There is no doubt after that about this. They don't doubt of Allah, but they can doubt of themselves. وَجَاهَدُوا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ جَاهَدُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. And then they are working in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with their own person, their own wealth, and they are giving. Ask yourself where you are. And the only point for us is to understand that you are going to change the reality of this society by doing this. This is the true consistency. And please, don't forget, your own community, as sometimes your own husband, as sometimes your own wife, as sometimes your own sons, as sometimes your own daughters, as sometimes your own father, as sometimes your own mother are going to disappoint you. But sabr is to rely on Allah and not on people. Put your trust on Him in order not to lose your trust in them. And to serve Allah is to serve the people. To serve Allah is to serve the people. Wallahu a'lam wa ala wa ahkam wa jazakum Allahu kulli khair wa assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Okay, I don't think we're going to have much time for Q&A. I'm aware of the fact that we do have, for traditional reasons and historical reasons, brothers and sisters who may find the style of lecture or the content sometimes a little bit difficult or awkward to adjust to. But I think they're perceiving similar kind of changes in myself. And I think that was very evident in my opening talk on Friday. And sometimes we tend to exhibit a certain sense of cynicism or disappointment in our own tones, and people criticize. But again, it's born of perhaps experience and a concern to perhaps expedite the results in a far effective manner, inshallah ta'ala. I'm only going to ask one question on behalf of the very, very, very many people who have put it to me. The question on the moratorium that Dr. Tariq Ramadan has put forward. Much heat has been expended, much talk has been exchanged in all types of fora, whether on the internet or in personal discourses. There is a book out in the in our bookstall supplied by the Oxford University Press on Western Muslims and the Future of Islam, authored by Dr. Tariq Ramadan. It's one of the latest books that he has published, and I have read, I think, almost all his thick publications, not the pamphlets. And I do recommend personally his books, inshallah ta'ala. But I'd like to ask Dr. Tariq Ramadan in a very short, succinct manner. It's difficult, it's perhaps impossible, to clarify some of the concerns regarding his call, which has, to an extent, even produced the fatwa of takfir on him, unfortunately.
Barakallahu fi. Two things. The first is, of course, it's within this short time, it will be difficult to say everything about it. And you can go, you can read the book, but there is also the website, www.tarikramadan.com, and you have a full section about the moratorium, the comments, and my responses to all the, every alim I responded to him after the criticism. And unfortunately, I put this on my website because first it was published in on Islam Online, and I sent all the responses and I said, okay, look, you have to publish to every, and they refused to do that, and they say, okay, we want a global answer. I say, no, look, I took time to respond to each alim, and I think it's fair to have the whole discussion. And if this is the alternative, that when we are opening a debate, you are choosing the answers and choosing the questions, it's not going to do the job. It's not the solution for us. The future is to have a real debate among Muslims. So go back to the inshallah to the website for details. But very quickly, three things about that. Many people understood that, you know, Tariq Ramadan was saying that out of his experience in Europe, and that it's a European call of Muslims based in just to please the West, and saying at the same time, and this were the main criticism I had, okay, you know, it's just few people that are concerned in some countries, it's not so huge, so why speaking about that? It's not so important to speak about hudud, to speak about death penalty, to speak about corporal punishments, and we can avoid that. It's not the time to speak about. So three criticisms mainly. It's coming from the West, because I'm based in Switzerland. It's not so important because it concerns only few people. And second, it's not the time to speak about that. We have other problems. So my answers to all this is first to come back to the deep discussion. The call for a moratorium on hudud, on the implementation of hudud, which is ta'liq, tadbiq al-hudud, was clearly this. First, and this is the first point that I will summarize. First, there is no discussion about the fact that we have in the Quran and in the Sunnah and the Ahadith text related to that. There is no discussion. We have them and they are clear. السارق والسارقة فقطعوا أيديهما. It's clear. It's a plain text. قطع الدلالة وقطع الثبوت. There is no discussion. And we have other texts in the Sunnah, in the Ahadith of the Prophet ﷺ dealing with that. So to say that, as some are saying, you know, we had some scholars in Europe or in the States say we can remove these verses. I don't accept that at all. We have verses and we have Ahadith and we have to respect them. So this is one. The second point is that from the very beginning, the ulama was saying, yes, we have texts, but we have also conditions, shurut, that should be gathered in order to implement these texts. We should understand the conditions and the context. Okay? So my point was this one. In our time today, I have three questions, three main questions to the ulama, and I need answers. The first one is, what do the texts say exactly about hudud, about qat' al-yad, about corporal punishment, about stoning, about death penalty? What do the texts say exactly? We need something which is more precise, because we have different interpretations. At least we need a discussion. Second, what are the exact conditions that should be gathered in order to implement that? Everyone. The third is, which is really important, in which context? Because we know that Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, allaqa, it means stopped the implementation of hadd al-sirqa, that to cut hands. Why? In a year of famine. Why? Because the conditions were not there. So the text is clear cut. There is no discussion about the text, but the conditions were not gathered, so he stopped implementing. Not against the text, but in the name of the text. In the name of the true understanding, of the deep understanding of the text, he said, we cannot implement that. So he stopped. So here we have something which is really important. He stopped the implementation. So I had three questions. And my point is that as long as there is no intra-community discussion among ulama about the text, the conditions, and the context, we cannot continue to do what we are doing. Because what is the situation now? The situation now is that the only people who are killed or who are victims of the wrong interpretation or wrong implementation of hudud are the poor people. See in Nigeria, see the Pakistani people in Saudi Arabia, the Filipinos people in Saudi Arabia, or in other societies, the poor people and the women. The princes, the kings, that are the big one who are stealing the money, they are free and respected. The question today is this one. We are in a situation where the hudud are implemented unjustly. And the victims are doubly victims. They are poor and then they have the hudud. Is it right? I cannot accept that. I say we have to stop. And to stop, to come to a discussion, to tell us what are the in the name of Islam, not against the text. Some in the forums, you know that I'm banned from one student groups in London saying, this is kufr. Say, what is kufr? What are you speaking about? Has nothing to do with kufr. I'm saying that in the name of the Quran, in the name of the true understanding of Islam, could you continue to treat unjustly the poor people and the women? And why are you speaking about Nigeria? And why are you silent about Saudi Arabia? I know why. Because of the money. You are following exactly in the footsteps of the West. You don't speak about Saudi Arabia. You know that they have money. But what about, can I tell you something? You will never be treated in this country as some Pakistani are treated in Saudi Arabia. The poor people in Saudi Arabia, the way they are treated. Let me say that because this is the truth. So I'm, you know, to be banned from Saudi Arabia, because you are saying that, is the biggest, the greatest sadness. It's sad to see that in our society now. But I have one question. Can you, now you, Muslims, support implementation of hudud against the poor and the poor people and the woman and keep silent? And the only answer is to say, oh, it's not time to speak about that. What? Where is the time to speak about injustice? There are only few cases. It's wrong. It's wrong. First, the cases in Saudi Arabia, in Afghanistan, in Nigeria, in Sudan, in Iran, 5 countries, and not that. Look about the death penalty. The death penalty is implemented now in, or accepted as part of the legal framework in 50 countries out of 56 Islamic majority countries. Who are the people who are killed? The opponents to dictators. It's not done in the name of hudud, but the Muslims don't dare to speak about it. You know why? Because death penalty is Islamic. So as it is Islamic, we don't speak about the wrong implementation. Corporal punishment. In so many societies now, corporal punishment. This is not. So my point is this. This is the deep understanding of this call. We have to stop to ask the ulama to come to a deep discussion. We have questions, and as long as we don't have a clear picture, we have to stop injustices. We cannot continue in the name of Islam. And don't tell me it's not time. Don't tell me it's not many people. It's wrong, by the way, and I think it's time to be just. Because Allah will never help a community accepting injustices in its name. So this is the point. Is there something which is Islamically wrong in what I'm saying? Is there something which is... This is what I was asking. And to tell you the truth, I was really disappointed when the first answers I got were very emotional. Not on the text, not on the arguments. They say, oh, it's not time. Oh, what is he doing? Who is he first to say that? I'm a simple Muslim. But a simple Muslim, an average Muslim, would have the good question. Who said that? The Prophet ﷺ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught him, be careful. Abasa wa tawalla, you know what it means. To be just attracted by the people who have money and to forget about the poor people and the right questions they have. So I have one question. Come to that and tell me. So the answers I got were not the answers I expected. But to tell you the truth, now is changing. The Mufti of Egypt came with a very good article, and when you read it, you say, he agrees with all what I said. And the only thing he said at the end, and I understand one, at his position, he must say that, he said, it may be not the time to say. And the second is that I was in Morocco last week, 10 days ago, and I met with ulama, a big gathering, and they were all saying, we have nothing to say. Islamically speaking, we understand what you mean. So if there is something which is non-Islamic in what I said, you must come to me and tell me it's not Islamic. And why? Not, it's not Islamic because I think it's not Islamic. It's not Islamic. Why? Come with arguments. But please, if we don't have arguments, if you don't know what to say, you have two choices. The first one is to keep silent. The second one is to support it in the name of Islam. So this is my only concern. So to be banned and to be considered as قد كفر طارق رمضان, I think it's not sad for me. It's not sad for these kind of judges. And when you sit with them and you start speaking, you realize that they haven't even read the paper. What is this community when you try to improve the situation and you have people not reading, judging you and saying, you are no longer a Muslim because I have decided so. This could be very sad for us. So this is my point. Think about it. Go back to the website. If you have messages to send to me, I read everything about this in the web. Every single message I have read from all the comments on that, because I need this feedback. It's really important for me. And I'm speaking with ulama. So do it if you feel that. Thank you for your invitation. Thank you for giving me the floor here to explain that point, because to launch a kind of controversy, which was not my aim. What I wanted is a clear discussion about it, because I really think that our silence, it's not acceptable on that field. May Allah love you, guide you, protect you, and accept your dua, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Jazakum Allah khairan. We don't have time for questions. We've overrun already, and I have to just announce the next program and terminate at that. Sheikh Magdi, inshallah ta'ala, Dr. Tariq Ramadan may speak to you later, inshallah. We're going to break now and make our way to Digby Halls and Digby area for lunch and prayers. And the next program will be at 2:30 p.m. with these seminars. And hopefully in that seminar we are going to have, inshallah ta'ala, Sheikh Imam Zaid Shakir, inshallah. Jazakum Allah khairan.